All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, March 9th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a ton of sports coming at you over the weekend here. We have a six-game NBA slate today. We have an eight-game NHL slate. We have Formula One today. We have Xfinity today. We have Cup Race tomorrow for NASCAR. We have a UFC fight tonight. And then we also have golf round three and round four today and tomorrow. So should be a fun weekend of DFS here. If you guys are not signed up with SaberSim, want to check us out, I always recommend checking us out on the weekends. That way you get access to all the weekend sports into next week here. So for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. And third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So appreciate you guys tuning in and hanging out with me. So with that said, let's get the app pulled up here. Looks like we have one question here at the moment. So if you guys have any questions, now is a good time to get those in. And question came in from Chuck. And Chuck said, in the league, I place 3 to 3.5% of my entries in the top 1%. And in other sports, I place 1 to 1.5% of my entries in the top 1%. Does this mean that I should allocate 5% of my bankroll to league and 2.5% of my bankroll to the other sports? So I think that this just brings up a good topic discussion in general here, just about like, hey, you know, you shouldn't, in my opinion, by the way, these are my thoughts. You shouldn't just have like this one big bankroll that you just like use across all of DFS, because maybe you're really good at like NFL and you've been playing NFL DFS and, you know, you've been a long-term winner, but then maybe NFL's over and then maybe you want to go and try a new sport. Maybe you want to go and try, you know, NASCAR for the first season. Like, should you really take over your entire bankroll that you use for NFL that you've been using for 5 years and go and use that same amount of money for NASCAR, a sport that you've never played before? Like, in my opinion, no. And kind of when I say it like that, you know, it sounds like clearly no. So I think that, you know, if you are having a lot of success in one sport, then from your overall bankroll, maybe you should allocate more of your funds to that sport. And then in some of these sports where, you know, you are still learning, you are still, you know, figuring out how to be good at these sports, you know, allocate less of your bankroll to those sports, right? Or have sport specific bankrolls. Like, hey, you know, for this sport, I use this much money. For this other sport, I use that much money. And then I take my, you know, 2.5 to 5% from that. And then maybe in league, I'm using, you know, on the higher side, like 5%. Maybe in this other sport, I'm on the lower end at like 2.5%, still following the profit plans, but your actual bankroll values where those 2.5 to 5%, you know, percentages are coming from differ. So I really like that approach. I would definitely consider doing something like that, Chuck. But I think that just brings up a good overall bigger bankroll discussion. All right, jumping over to the YouTube chat, question from Crutches. Crutches said, in NBA, for example, let's say there's a 7 p.m. lock, 7:30 start, 8 p.m., then a 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. If I'm using weighted projections, at what point do you think it's smart to flip to SaberSim's live projections? Feels like live projections haven't changed enough in the first 20 minutes to use that. So usually around 8 to 9, I'll switch to SaberSim live. Okay, so I think that this point is probably worth clarifying. So let's go to NBA for today. Yeah, let's go for today. Actually, no, let's go for yesterday. Let's go back to Friday because we'll have the SaberSim live column there. Okay, so I'm going back to Friday's NBA main slate. Now, no, I'm not on Friday. I'm on today still. Friday. Okay, good. Now I'm on Friday. Okay, so in here. We were actually messing around with weighted projections yesterday, so this kind of works out. So you're going to see that we have the original Sabres and projections. I uploaded one set of projections, which I called projection one. I have the live column, and then I did a weighted average of the Saber Sim and the projections that I uploaded. So when you are building your lineups, by the way, sorry, there's just more follow-up here. Said, like, feels like live projections haven't changed enough for the first 20 minutes to use those, so I usually wait around the 8 to 9, I'll switch to Saber Sim Live. I do have the use live sims if available checked, by the way. Okay, good. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. So when you are running your late swap, when you are building new lineups to replace your current lineups, so what we're doing is we are still using the projections in the My Projection column. So it doesn't really make sense to build lineups with SaberSim Live projections. That's because if somebody is outperforming their projection, well, they are locked and they cannot be put into more lineups. So for the lineup building part, it doesn't really matter. Where it matters is where you're going to place in the contest. So if you're using weighted projections, I would just use them the entire night. If you have some projection set that you care about, use it the entire night. And the reason for that is exactly what I said. Like, you can't change these locked players. Now, where the SaberSim Live projections matter is, hey, when we put your lineups into the contest sim and we try and figure out how well these lineups are going to do, then we want to know more accurately what is the likely outcome of each player at the end of the night. Like, we are trying to figure out, hey, how many points is this player actually going to score? And how many points is this lineup going to score at the end of the night compared to the other lineups in the contest? And that's what the live projections do. The live projections help you with the contest sims. And you can see, like, when you create a contest sim, those toggles are on by default. Use live sims if available, and use live field lineups if available. You know, we toggle those on automatically here, so you don't need to do anything. And not switch to the SaberSim Live projections for building your lineups, and just only use the SaberSim Live for your contest sims. So hope that makes sense. All right. Next question here. Good afternoon. When you run the sims without changing anything, the exposures given, are these given to everyone and the only way to get different is to make my own individual stance? Okay, good question. So no. So the way that we build here, which you can see this in your settings. So if you go to your build settings, you're going to have two options. You're going to have sim mode and optimizer mode. So what happens on optimizer mode is more along the lines of what you're describing, of where on optimizer mode, what we're trying to do is build the highest projected lineups possible and, you know, put the highest projected first and then the second highest projected and third. So if everybody were to just leave the projections as they were, go to optimizer mode and build lineups, then yes, they would get the same projected lineups because the math works out the same. However, our primary build mode is sim mode. And what happens in sim mode is, you got to remember that we have 5,000 game simulations of each game on the slate. What we do is we randomly sample game sims from each game on the slate to create a slate simulation. So we might take, you know, five random sims out of 5,000 from game one, and we do that for every game on the slate. We put all those game sims together. We play them out. We see how the players do in those sims, and then we build the best possible lineup from that combination of sims. And then lineup one goes into your pool. And then we go and we take a new five from each game and put those together, and then lineup two. So there are, like, exponentially high combinations of the possible ways you could take five out of 5,000 and then take it. Every time they build is because of the way that we are doing that. So our sim mode is what causes you could check this yourself, right? Like, you could run build three and then run some lineups and then go open a new build and build four and then run a new set of lineups. And you're going to see that even these lineups that you're building, not even between you and another user, are different. So you're not going to get the same lineups every time you build using SaberSim on sim mode. All right. Question from Kurt. Can you provide a good general rule for creating groups for NBA player groups? So I'll say two things on this. So a lot of people like to use this like general, this is like a NBA heuristic of like use no more than three players per team. So it'd be like a group automatic use no more than three group by team. So this is like a general NBA heuristic that a lot of people like to use. It is a little bit slate dependent, right? There might be some slates where there's like a lot of value and you might want to allow more than three. So it doesn't look like yesterday was that slate. So I think it would have been like fine for yesterday. But, you know, there's times in the year where, you know, Golden State sits all. Maybe I want to take the rule off and allow more than three players from Golden State just because there's so much value. So like you got to be aware of those like slate specific contexts that allow you to adjust those rules. But as far as like setting groups and things in general, you know, I like to say like there's only really two times I like to use a rule. It's one when SaberSim is doing something I specifically do not want it to do. Maybe I always like to have a QB stack in NFL. I just don't think that no QB stacks are going to get there often enough. And I'd rather just put all of my chips on a QB stack. So then if I'm using a player from one team, make sure to use their quarterback or, you know, use a quarterback plus one player at least, right? So, like, that's one way. And then option two is, like, just kind of the inverse of that. It's like, hey, maybe SaberSim is doing something I specifically don't want it to do. Maybe I never want to play two running backs from the same team. I just rather, you know, go a different direction. I think I can win without that situation. So then I go and I put in a rule that says, hey, you know, don't use two running backs from the same team. And so, like, those very specific moments where SaberSim is or isn't doing something you want are good times to do rules. I don't do rules just for the sake of doing rules. Like Jordan talks about this in his recent video, which if you guys haven't seen it, I would highly recommend checking it out. But he's talking about how, you know, traditional optimizers don't understand correlation. And so they have to like put in these player groups and rules in order to like counterbalance that lack of knowledge there. But like with SaberSim, we with our play-by-play simulations, playing these games out play-by-play, we do understand player correlations and, you know, how often you want to play a quarterback with their wide receiver. He uses like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes as a example there. So check out this video. Four expensive mistakes to avoid when using DFS optimizers. I just dropped the link to it in the YouTube chat here. It's a great video. He talks about that specific situation here. So I would highly recommend going over to our YouTube channel and watching that video. All right. Skin SaberSim pulled back up here. Can keep it rolling. Question from Dante said, if using risk-adjusted ROI, do I still need to maximize the amount of uniques? Does using RAROI sims for late swap negatively affect my lineups if my pre-locked builds are built with Saber score only? Okay. Excuse me. Hold on. Just a little sick. All right. So two questions here. First one was, if using risk-adjusted ROI, do I still need to maximize the amount of uniques? So I think maximize is an interesting word here. So you know, Mini Uniques is a tool. It is not a tool you have to use, but it is a tool that we recommend because we think it's a good tool. So ultimately, you know, Mini Uniques is a way of diversifying your lineups in order to help you be more spread out on a slate. So I know that we have like content where like Jordan recommends, hey, you know, set it to like one less than the maximum. You know, that's a very like risk averse approach. I think that, you know, personally, I think that, you know, Mini Uniques is more, should be handled more on like a player by player basis. So what I always recommend, go over to, you know, run your build, scroll over to the right, what I like to do is sort by leverage and then look at the high leverages, right? So I have, you know, really high leverages to Zach Collins, Isaiah Stewart, Asar Thompson. And what I want to do is I want to start increasing my min uniques, and I want to see how these leverages change and how the exposures change. And then I want to settle on a number that matches my risk tolerance where I'm like, you know what? These changes look good to me. And so right at about like this five, you know, this looks like kind of good to me. And this is me. This is like my risk tolerance, right? Maybe somebody else's is different. Like I'm at a min unique five. You know, I have no more than like 55% exposure to any one player. I still have like some pretty high leverages, like 25% leverage, 30% leverage, 33% leverage. So, you know, I'm still taking some stands on the slate, but I'm a lot more spread out. And I've gone from at one min unique, I was at 28 players in my player pool, and I've upped that to 42. So I think that you should watch your exposures or your leverage. I think you should adjust your min uniques, and then I think you should settle on the number where the exposures and the leverages make sense to you. And I think that's personally the best way to do it, because what I think is okay might be totally different from somebody else. Somebody might be like, you know what, I'm totally fine having 100% of, you know, two players in my lineup. Like I use a core every night. That's what I'm used to. Like, hey, that's what you're used to. Great, dude. Like use one min unique, use two. Other people be like, you know what? I always set a global max exposure. I would never have more than 50% to any one player. Like they might be way on the higher side. So super person by person. And, you know, like I said, it's a tool. There's different ways to use it. All right. Question from Benny Hanna. In Jordan's video, he talked about diversification with bad lineups. What can we do if the pool of lineups are low scoring to begin with? I've been adjusting / using new projections, but open to ideas. So there's two ideas here that come to mind is that if you're using the contest sims, well, really they're both kind of the same. They're just a little bit different. So both involve using a player lineup filter. So if you care about projected score, well then, hey, maybe you go and set a filter to weed out some of the lowest projected score lineups. Like, okay, show lineups with projected score greater than, I don't know what a good number is, but we'll just guess. Okay, so I did 250. We got rid of two lineups. Maybe I do 260. So then here, like I've gotten rid of the lowest, you know, 35 lineups. You know, this is about 10%. I could tweak it a little bit more, but it still kind of gets like the point across here of like, hey, maybe you want to go and trash some of the lowest projected score lineups if those matter to you. If you're using contest sims, hey, maybe you want to go and filter out lineups that are negative ROI. And you just say like, hey, get the negative ROI lineups out of my site and only leave me the lineups that are positive ROI. So like, that's another option, right? So it sounds like what you probably need to do is figure out some type of lineup filter for your pool that makes sense for you that you want to apply every slate. So I would give that a shot. All right, jumping back to the Discord, I have another question here. Kurt said, thank you, Andrew. Yeah, man, happy to help out. All right, next question. Is there a way to run a different set for a contest? Example, run 75 lineups with one setting and 75 with a different one. Ask if I want to duplicate lineups to fill, but I don't because I don't know how I would change them to the new set. Okay, so this is a great opportunity to use our favorites feature. So say that I have a 150 max contest and I want to build two sets of 75 lineups and I want to combine them into the same contest. So we have just a tool for that. So what I would do is run my build one here, 75 lineups. Now, when I'm happy with these lineups, I'm going to use this star icon. What this star icon is going to do is it's going to send these lineups to this grayed out favorites tab. So when I click the star, the favorites is going to become active and the star is going to become green. That tells me that, hey, there are lineups in this tab now. When I click on this tab and I go and look, boom, my 75 lineups are here. So what I can do is I can open up a new build with new rules or new constraints or however you want to make this set different, do the same exact process, send the lineups from build two to the favorites, And then in my favorites tab, I'm going to have 150 lineups, and then I can use the save to my contest option here. So you can run builds and you can favorite them, and then it will put them all in the favorites tab, and then you can fill your contest from here. So that is how you do that. And then if anybody needs a refresher, scroll down to frequently asked questions. And I realize. And then type in favorite. And then we have a tutorial on how to use our favorites feature. So I will drop this in the YouTube chat in case anybody needs a refresher. So just drop that there. But with that said, we are all caught up on questions here. So we're all through with questions in the Office Hours channel and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.